Let us pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you that indeed a child, a Savior, is coming to deliver us, to lead us. We thank you, O Lord, that we shall move from darkness into the marvelous light by his love. Let us continue to rejoice and listen and respond to your holy word. In Christ's name, amen. Let me call your attention to our scripture, your passage for this morning. It is taken from the gospel according to Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 to 25. And if you don't have your Bibles, if you look back on your sermon bulletin and your sermon notes, you'll see the passage before you from the Message Bible. Let me share that Matthew is viewing the coming of Jesus from his own lenses, and he sees Jesus as a second Messiah, Moses, coming to not only give the law, but now to fulfill the law for God's people. Listen to these words recorded by Matthew. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream. Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit had made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth. And when she does, you, Joseph, will give him the name Jesus. God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. This would bring the prophetic embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. Then Joseph woke up. He did exactly what God's angel commanded in the dream. He married Mary, but he did not consummate the marriage until she had the baby. He named the baby Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. I love Christmas. It is truly the best season, and not really a season for me, all year long I can say Merry Christmas. I love the Christmas trees, and I love Christmas lights, and I love Christmas time together with family members and friends and co-workers. It is a great joy for us to remember the context as we come to share as it relates to hope, peace, joy, and love. How many of you just love Christmas music? Amen, amen. And our choir did an outstanding job sharing the Messiah, not only here Saturday and Sunday, but also in Daytona Beach on the campus of Bethune-Cookman. And let's give our choir a hand, and we thank Paige and all of those who participated as well. It's a sense of just loving Christmas and loving the Christmas atmosphere as well. Now, I've already perused the audience here and noticed that the youngest child here should be Quincy. Raise your hand, Quincy. There's Quincy right there. Quincy, I remember the excitement of Christmas and to be in worship with my parents and also to be good during the month of December, especially because I was looking for a gift under the Christmas tree. I'm pretty sure Owens is as well. But it's just something about Christmas, just to have the favorite gadget, the favorite toy, the favorite item. How many of you remember writing letters to Santa Claus? Yeah, don't be bashful. Amen. We used to have to do that as a school assignment. And you write your letter to Santa and you give him all of your desires and saying that you're going to be the best boy or girl throughout the whole year. Well, there's not too many days left after the 25th. But I came upon this little letter here. Listen to this. Dear Santa, I've been good all year. Okay, most of the time. Once in a while, forget it. I'll buy my own stuff. I don't know how many of you had the chance to go to the new outlet mall in Daytona Beach. just a great place to go. Lynn and I, we were passing by there. I decided to stop, not to buy anything, just to stop and look around the area and to share. But I noticed they had folks who were singing Christmas songs and Christmas carols. They were even dressed up in costumes. You could walk up to them, share your favorite Christmas song, and they would sing that song on the spot. Right there. It was just real fun. And of course, I was gullible. I had to give them my requests as well. And then folks would come out of stores just to hear them sing. I was so excited and carried away with the moment that I joined that group as well. Look at that. Yeah. Just something about Christmas. I love Christmas. I love Christmas. Absolutely love it. Now, there's some things about Christmas I don't love. If you ever go to the stores and you have to wait on those long lines. But it's just Christmas reminds us that it's not about the long lines, but it's also about the baby. Christ Jesus coming to save our souls. That's the essence of Christmas. That's the true meaning of Christmas. It is very important for us to remember that God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. Now we're celebrating and observing, and we should, the late astronaut and Senator John Glenn. There's a quote by John Glenn that I indeed love. John Glenn said, and check this out, it was not his first journey to the moon, but it was his second. Upon him returning from his second visit at age 77, so it's never too late. At age 77, John Glenn, when returned, John Glenn said these words, and I quote, "After seeing the creation, it is impossible not to believe in God. After seeing the creation, it is impossible not to believe in God." Here's a man who went out of space and came back. And he says to us, it is impossible. Once you see the glory of God and the creation of God, it is impossible to say, I don't believe in God. Well, if you look closely in this passage of scripture and in the life of Joseph, you'll see how God indeed works in mysterious ways. It is a great point as it relates to Christmas, how Christmas brings us together. And Matthew looks at this passage of scripture totally different than we normally look at or even read. How so? I'm glad you asked. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew chapter 1. And in Matthew chapter 1, right there, the very first verse, Matthew starts out and he gives this long list dealing with 42 generations. He's talking about the ancestors of Joseph. And he gives reference as it relates to God and Jesus. Doesn't matter what translation you have. You'll see there the next sentence that he goes and share is David, the son, and Abraham, the son of God. Now, in the King James translation, if you look at the second verse, and perhaps it's in your Bible as well, you'll notice that then he talks about the patriarchs. He says, Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot Judah. And he gives a whole laundry list of 42 generations. And if you read that list, you would say no way in the world that Joseph is coming out of that list, out of that body of people, that generation. But read again. There are some messed up folks in that 42 generation. You're talking about drama. You're talking about all the chaos. You just read that whole list when you get home and you'll see and read the backdrops of some of those people that are named there and you'll see that there was a whole lot of mess going on. But then God, in his own infinite wisdom, selected out of that list of names, out of those ancestors, Joseph, to be the earthly father of Jesus Christ our Lord. You see how God moves in mysterious ways. In fact, Christmas is a reminder that it's all about the baby. Jesus Christ, He is the reason for the season. So let me ask you, the first question is this question. What does Christmas mean to you? What does Christmas mean to you? Ask your neighbor that question. Now, what does Christmas mean to you? What is it all about? Why are we here? Why are people more happy during this time of the year than in other times during the course of the year? And then who is Joseph? Who is Joseph? Joseph. Here's a definition. Joseph, best known as the husband of Mary and the father of Jesus, is found in the New Testament books in Matthew and Luke. You don't hear much about Joseph. There's not a lot of songs about Joseph. You don't hear a song say, Joseph, do you know? Did you know? But you hear it about the baby and Mary. But Joseph was an ordinary carpenter. But yet he will be called on by God to do extraordinary things. And God will use even today ordinary people like you and me. If we continue to be available to Him. You heard Lee as she shared those statistics as it relates to the necessity for more volunteers to be actively engaged in the lives of children and youth. It is important to remember Joseph. Joseph was dreaming. He was now asleep, but he was in a dream. The Bible gives us a short biographical sketch of the life of Joseph. If you have your Bibles, look at Matthew, the first chapter in the 18th verse. In the King James translation, it is pointed out that Joseph was a man of integrity. He was a just man, a righteous man. And he wanted to do well by Mary. He didn't want to put her as a public specter or shame. Or he didn't want to put her as a public example. He didn't want to, in our day and time, he didn't want to put her business out on the internet or in the tabloids, if you will. How in the world can he believe a story that the baby in Mary's womb is delivered there by the Holy Spirit? Now he's asleep. But look at the 20th verse. The Bible says Joseph had a dream. In fact, if you look closely in all five verses, you'll see three times the word dream. Medical doctors and scientists tell us that when we have dreams, or really when we go to sleep, we will at least dream an hour and a half to 2 hours while we're asleep. But look at Joseph. Here's Joseph. He's asleep. But then an angel comes and calms him down and says to Joseph that the baby that is in Mary's womb is spirit conceived based upon the Holy Spirit. Now, this had nothing to do with the day of Pentecost, but it's a great reminder that the Holy Spirit was present before the day of Pentecost. For the Holy Spirit is part of what we call the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. The Spirit was present and the Spirit was moving inside the womb of Mary, and the angel calms Joseph down. Have you had any good dreams lately? Aspirations, expectations, things that you so desire? Sometimes our dreams can turn into my nightmares, amen, or worries, and we have concerns. But look how the angel calmed Joseph down. He said, Joseph, Mary's going to have a baby, and this baby shall be called Jesus. It is Emmanuel. The Hebrew word Emmanuel means what? God is with us. Now, if you look at the next bullet point, is this bullet point, as it relates to our sermon notes, what's the big deal about the baby in the manger? Ask your other neighbor that question. What's the big deal about the baby in the manger? We're here to my right at the last service. We had two mothers who walked in with their babies. And all during the last service, guess what? They never laid those babies down. It's something about a baby that will change the whole atmosphere of a home or of a church. Or anywhere you go in society, some babies are quiet and calm, and then some babies let you know that they're there. Some of you will get that on the way home. Yeah. But a baby comes into our lives and make a difference. What about this baby in the manger? Well, here's the significant fact and the biblical fact as it relates to this baby in the manger. He changed the course of history. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea and placed in the manger, he changed the course of history forever. BC was now giving away to AD. Before Christ was now shaking hands in the year of our Lord. He changed the course of history. Jesus Christ, and if you look closely in the passage of scripture, you'll see that the angel shares it very explicitly to Joseph and say, Joseph, this baby will save God's people from what? Their sins. Their sins, our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. Jesus Christ has come to save us from our sins. Amen? Just a baby. A baby comes to make a significant impact upon our spiritual relationship with God. This baby is just not a baby. He is the Savior of the world. I don't know about you, but I love Christmas. I love Christmas, for Christmas reminds me of how God offers to you and to me hope, peace, joy, and love. It is given to the world. And it's good news for us to go and to share how God allows human flesh, his own flesh, his own offspring, Jesus Christ, to be the greatest gift given to all humankind. Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible not to believe in God. He was willing to save us from our sins and from ourselves. Well, in closing, here's the last question for you. Did you know God used Joseph in the life of Jesus in a powerful fashion? He uses the life of Joseph as he works with Jesus in a powerful fashion. Now, if you look back at the backdrop of Joseph's name, Joseph's Hebrew name, not only just the Joseph in the New Testament in the text, but also the Joseph in the Old Testament. The name Joseph means God will increase, or God adds increase. That's his Hebrew name. That's the meaning of his name. You look at the Old Testament as it relates to Joseph. Joseph was considered the favorite among his sons. And guess what? His offsprings, his siblings were upset that his father would bless Joseph. And so they sold him into what? Slavery. But that's not the end of the story. The Bible says while he was in slavery, they needed him. The king needed him, and they summoned him to the palace. And it was him who interpreted what? Dreams. And God increased his status. And the Bible tells us that God elevated him and gave him a responsibility over all of Judea. Then you look at Joseph in the New Testament. Just a carpenter. But guess what? We're talking about him on Sunday morning. He was a carpenter, but God increased his legacy because he was obedient to God. If you don't believe that, look right there in the passage of scripture. The Bible says he did exactly, once he woke up, He did exactly what God told him to do. He was obedient to God. And when we trust and obey, God will bless us. I don't know about you, but I want increase. I want God to increase our spirituality, increase us with our physical ability, increase our finances. Why? Because then we can be a blessing to others. God wants to bless us to be a blessing to others. And that's why I love Christmas. Christmas reminds us that God indeed loves you and me in spite of all that we can look at as it relates to ancestry.com. God still wants to use you and me to make a difference in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I love Christmas. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised.